Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
Everyone is very welcome, and we thank God for your lives. Today, we have a word from the living God that we titled, The Woman with the Issue of Blood. The Woman with the Issue of Blood. The book of John. John 1 and the verse is 18. He says that, he said, no man had seen God at any time. This is Apostle John writing this by the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Say, no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is at the bosom of the Father, had declared him. No one knows God as Jesus knows him. No one has seen God as Jesus the Son knows the Father. So, we said we are going to talk about the woman with the issue of blood that we all know has become a standard in the Christendom when we start talking about faith. Faith to touch God, to believe God. But the whole issue was about the blood because there was a commandment. It was God's commandment about the blood that is coming out of a woman. Whichever way that blood is coming forth, either by menstruation or by any form of bleeding sickness, there was a law concerning that. That is why we talk much about what Jesus did to this woman with the issue of blood. So the law concerning the law of Moses concerning the issue of blood is found here in the book of Leviticus 15 and the verse is 19 to 20 and downwards. It says, if a woman have an issue, if a woman had an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. And everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. This is the case with the woman with the issue of blood. Like I said before, if a woman is living under the law of Moses, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, if you give birth, blood is coming. If you are having your menstruation, blood is coming. The law of Moses concerning the blood coming from the woman, this is what we have read, that this woman is considered to be unclean, and you have to separate her, number one, from the tabernacle of Almighty God, and number two, from the congregation. So the woman has to be set aside, has to be set apart for 7 good days in expectation that after 7 days, the issue will be over. So at that point, every single thing that this woman will do in the sight of everyone is unclean. If she sits on the chair, that chair becomes unclean. So you could imagine the people that are living with such a woman in the house. That is why God said that, take her out of the house and isolate her. It was the law of God given to Moses. 19:21, right? We are reading 19. We are on the same law. So 19:21-23. It continues by saying that whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean till the evening. So in other words, it is an emphasis about anyone that comes in contact with her or with anything she had touched, that person becomes unclean until the evening. You have to wash yourself, clean yourself till the evening. So such a law, when a woman is in that situation, it is very tough. It is tough for people around, and it is tough for the woman herself. Because everything you touch, unclean. Anyone that comes close to you is going to be defiled. So people see you as someone that they shouldn't come close. It doesn't stop here in terms of emphasizes. In the verse 24, he said, and if any man lieth with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. In other words, if you go and have sex with a woman in such a stage, you also automatically become unclean 7 days. If your wife is bleeding, if your wife have had a child, you better stay away. Because as she is separated, if you go close to her and lie with her, automatically you are also under the 7 days isolation, unclean. I know under that law, many cannot wait, especially when the woman has given birth. At the verse 25-27, more emphasis. It says, if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it runs beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. In other words, after the 7 days, if it's still not stopping, the bleeding has not stopped, another 7 days is automatically added. So if you have someone, a woman that is sick with such, you know, situation, sick of issue of blood, and the issue is not being healed, you can see this woman completely cast out from the society. You touch a cup to drink water, nobody is coming to drink from that water anymore. You have made the whole water in the house unclean. The bed that you are sleeping on, that bed, everything, bed sheet, you name it, unclean. You go to stream to fetch water, unclean. So the best way, isolation. You watch it. Even the person that will go and minister to her in such a condition, that person automatically become unclean. And you know how we human beings are. God said that During the day, you are unclean in one condition, that you wash yourself. But someone that is ministering to this lady might just come around and say that, you know what, I have so many things to do today. I don't want to go and minister to her and just kept myself. He said, you will be unclean till the evening. So the day. In verse 20 says, he said, every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. So in other words, it's not just her that is being prolonged 7 days. It's every single thing that she will come in contact with. You can't use that cup in the house for 7 days. You cannot touch that water for 7 days if she has been drinking from it. So the best way is to have an environment prepared for such a woman. Be living alone in expectation that your issue of blood must stop after 7 days. If not, another 7 days, you are going through the same thing. Verse 27, and whosoever touches those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in the water, and be unclean until the evening. We have been saying the same thing over and over and over and over, because the word of God emphasizes it. So the point is now, what about when the bleeding has stopped? What is the word saying about when this woman's bleeding has come to an end? Verse 28, it says, if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days. Hallelujah. Once it is over, you are going to add extra 7 days. With all the 7 days that you have been going through. So if, let's say, the woman has the issue, and the first, as soon as you have the issue, they have to separate you, isolate you. You're going to go 7 days. Within the 7 days, if the issue stopped, you have to wait another 7 days. And after you have waited that 7 days, what must she do? On the eighth day, she shall take unto her 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons. 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. She has been separated from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. She has been separated from the presence of the Lord at the tabernacle. And she has been separated from the people in the congregation. When it is over, you wait 7 days after. Then you have to bring turtles and then 2 pigeons to the priest, the pastor in the house. For what purpose? In the purpose that the priest shall offer the one for a sin sacrifice. So sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. You bring it to the priest, and the priest is going to offer 2 things. Number 1, sin offering. So when the woman has that issue, it's like you are in a state of sin. So the cleansing aspect of it, the turtles, the pigeons, they are meant for burnt offering. The burnt offering, the sweet smelling, that you may please the Lord again to be allowed to come back to the presence of the living God. So you can see that under Mosaic law, if a woman discharged blood, whether, as I said before, the blood is associated with birth, that one is also in Leviticus 12:7. or with the menstruation, which is in Leviticus 12, 19, and continue bleeding. And we're going to see the case of one woman here. That will render the woman unclean for so long. For so long. So you can see that the people, the women that were under the law of Moses, these things that they have been going through, it wasn't the law from any man. It was God's law. Almighty God wrote it and gave it to Moses, that this is how it's supposed to be. In other words, if we were under the Old Testament, women that is unclean cannot come to church. Stay at home. And even your home, they might just find a place, book a hotel or something for you to stay there. Because nobody in that house wants to be unclean and keep washing whatever that they put on the same day. And all kinds of troubles. But we thank God we are not under the Old Testament. We are not under the Old Covenant. We thank God. So, I wish people that are claiming women's rights and women freedom will stand on these things and say, Lord, we thank you for our freedom. Hallelujah. But I do know that this is not what they are using to proclaim women's freedom. But Jesus Christ had brought freedom to every woman. Amen. So this is a clear indication that since we are allowing women with the issue of blood to come to church in the very presence of Almighty God, because God himself has changed the law. He has changed the covenant. Here, Hebrews 8 and the verse is 10 to 13, packed with many and much revelation. I have good news for you. You are not under the Old Testament law. You are under a New Testament covenant with God. So if you have an issue with the blood, you are free to come to the presence of the living God. The word says, he said, God said, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. He said, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be unto them a God, and they shall be unto me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Hallelujah. We are standing on a better covenant. We are standing on a higher covenant. We are standing on a new covenant. Children of God today are not under the old covenant. We are under new covenant. We are not followers of Moses. We are followers of Jesus Christ. And I do not want anybody to keep me under any form of religious activities that God himself had already canceled. This is very important. You see, the Old Testament here, everything was all about outward behaviors. Outward. He wrote, he gave them the law on the two tablets of stones. And they have like 613 laws to obey. God came to find out that no one, not even a single person, was able to obey the commandments of God. Even the first 10. The first 10. So he said, I am now changing it. God said, I have changed it because I know, I have seen that you could not obey it. Now the question is this, if God knew that man cannot obey this commandment. Why did he give it in first place anyway? Because at the end of the day, we serve an omniscient God. God that knows it all. So he has seen it already, that man cannot obey it. So why did you give it? It wasn't for God. It was for you to discover that without the Spirit of God, a man cannot obey God. So how he gave the law to Moses by writing them on the tablet of stones. God said, this time I'm not going to write anything on any tablet of stone for somebody to write it for you or for someone to read it to you. But I'm going to take your mind. I'm going to take your heart. As the writing pad, I will write my laws in your mind and in your heart. And everybody, there won't be any need for anyone to be telling somebody no God, because you yourself, within yourself, you will come to find out that the law of the living God is already in you. And I have always been saying this, devil made me do this, devil made me. Number one, God, Almighty God, had upgraded us above the devil and above anything and anyone that will make you do something. Why? Because the written word of the living God, the law of the living God, is written in our hearts and in our minds. So the moment that someone, without even knowing that this is what the word of God says about this situation, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, the moment that you are getting yourself into a situation that is not glorifying God, the Spirit of God will prompt you. The Spirit of God will definitely prompt you. You have not come to know, thou shalt not. No, that's not what we are talking about. We are talking about the prompting of the Spirit. You, whichever way that the Spirit of God is working with you, you come to find out the same way that when you get yourself into the situation and you know that, this place is not very conducive for me. This place is not, let me get myself out of this place. The same way that you sense it, the Holy Spirit will use exactly the same way to prompt you and tell you that you are to get out of this place because this man is somebody's husband. He will let you know. You will feel so uncomfortable. But this is where the debate, you know, the battle and the debate is. You will start fighting with the Spirit of God. When the Spirit is prompting you, what you are going to say to your husband that is not right. What you are going to do to your wife that is not right. Amend your ways. Between the time of thought and the time of action, it's a whole long time for the Holy Spirit to tell you that don't do it. But the spirit of man that is always striving with the Spirit of God will start the calculations. I have not paid my rent. And this man is ready to give me the money to pay the rent anyway. God, since you didn't bring the money, let me do it. And the next thing you know, you have overruled God's word that was being released unto you by the Spirit of the living God. These are the things that are setting us so much backward. And we are not able to progress. Sometimes we want to, we want to see God's action before we obey. That is Old Testament behavior. That is Old Testament behavior. Because that's not faith. You want to see first before you act. That's not faith. Faith, Hebrews 11, says faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. You have not seen it, but it is evidence unto you. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. You are touched by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, indwelling Spirit of God, is testifying within you that it is well. Even though every single thing that you could see in the realm of the physic goes against the state of it is well within. But the Lord tells you it is well. So if you come to believe that indeed my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, the moment that you will side with God, God will prove himself to be a God unto you. He said, I shall be a God unto them. They will know me as their God. He will take the step of the child of God in faith to believe in his God, and the Lord will confirm his state being a God unto his people. It is dangerous to always put in God in test and say that if you do this to me, then I will do this. Who created who? Who is making the law? Are you dictating your ways to God, or God tells you to do something? Just obey instead of you willing to always sacrifice. God is not requiring sacrifice at this time. The type of sacrifice that the Lord needs is a sacrifice of obedience. That's it. Now, he said that it is so interesting because in that Hebrews 8, verse 11, as we read, he said, they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Hallelujah. The same way when we start teaching our children the ways of the Lord, when we start training the children the ways of the living God, they are coming up, the least to the greatest. As they are growing, they are already filled up with the knowledge of God and the Spirit of God. The grace of God was already upon them. As the grace of God was upon Jesus when Jesus Christ was a young man, a little boy. So we can expect God to give grace and fill our children with his grace. With his grace. When they are going to school and all these things that are happening around, our children will not catch those things. They shall behave right because the Spirit of God is in them. They come to recognize that the Spirit of God was in Daniel. And Daniel never, and will not defile himself, no matter what. From the least to the greatest, they shall know me. And verse 12 of Hebrews 8, he said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And that is something that I have been saying before. I said, anyone who has come to the point to be so, you know, so tight with the spirit of unforgiveness is a man that is still walking in the Old Testament covenant. Because the Spirit of God is a merciful spirit. The Spirit of God is a forgiving spirit. I preached a message some time ago. I said that the title of the message was, unforgiveness is a satanic power. It is. Because God said that if someone has wronged you, forgive them. So that when you come and you stay before Almighty God in prayers for whatever that you are looking for, the Lord will also forgive you and do it for you. But if you are not forgiven, if the devil is hardened your heart, that you will not forgive one another, do you know what he's doing? He will just come and put his chair, in the midst of your home and take seat and be enjoying the worship unto him. It is you whose prayers are being blocked. Your blessings, as you continue pulling them, they are not coming because your unforgiveness heart is holding them. A Christian brother, a Christian, sister has done something that is not, if your husband, your wife, their children, and you are standing out there, you are hitting your chest. I cannot forgive this. I can never forgive him for what he has done. You can never forgive him for, and you want God to forgive you and receive you in heaven. God might open, a heaven and be telling you, my son, I can never forgive you for what you have done. Look at hell. That is where you are going. I am the Father. How can you say such a thing to me? I can never forgive you. Mama, for what you have done, I know you are my mother. I know. Don't put your feet under this house anymore. Stay away from my marriage. Stay away from my life. I can never forgive you. Matter of fact, I curse you in the name of Jesus. Look at you. Look at you. A Christian sister that is cursing with the name of Jesus. Jesus doesn't curse nobody. Jesus Christ does not curse no one. Christ doesn't have, you know, condemnation upon nobody. Christ does not have stones upon his pocket to what? To throw against nobody. No stones. These are things that are just tying us on the same spot over and over. And we keep coming in the presence of the Lord, praying prayer. That woman that is misbehaving in that house, if you see her at the, in the midst of the congregation praying, you would think that the whole heaven is coming down. Yeah, yeah. Please don't shout. Don't shout. Don't shout. If there is anything that you can do, go and obey the word of the living God from your home before you come here and make noise. New covenant believers, they are subject to inner life. Inner life. Inner life. If you cannot rule your home, you cannot come and rule anybody in the church. We said it, Hebrews 8:12. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he said, a new covenant he had made the first old. Now that which decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away. I have good news for you. It is written here. We have read it together. Old Testament covenant. Old covenant, it is over in the name of Jesus Christ. It's over. So anyone that is using your Christian life, quoting scriptures from the Old Testament, so that this is what the Lord needs, this is what, no. It's an inner life. Inner life. We have the case where, you know, those two brothers, Cain and Abel, bringing sacrifices to Almighty God. And Cain's, you know, sacrifice was rejected. And we have seen in the Christian, you know, bookstores that, oh, the reason why God rejected Cain's sacrifice is because Cain did not offer blood. It has nothing to do with blood. It has nothing to do with blood. It has everything to do with your personality being accepted by God. God accepted Abel first before his sacrifice. The personality, the character of Cain was not accepted in the sight of Almighty God. It has nothing to do with the sacrifice. What is it that you are bringing to me when you are not even obeying my basic foundational laws? Because now you are in America. You are here. And you are making more money than your husband. So you have become the head of that house. You cannot be the head of the house. You cannot. Because in the sight of Almighty God, it's not about money. This is a spiritual thing. The Lord did it. He said that the male, you shall be. And what God has not put together, let no man put together. And what God has put together, let no man destroy it. It's between man and woman. So whichever way that you are thinking, man is the head. And the woman is the helper. A woman being a helper is not she's not a punching bag. Or she's not a trash. And she's not a doormat either. We have to understand the principle that, you know, that rules in our homes on the new covenant. Under the new covenant rule, a woman is a helper to the husband. A husband is also a leader in that house. Which means that a house that is submissive one to another. Peaceful home. Peaceful home. A man going to, if your wife is sick and you are going to the, you know, kitchen and be cooking something for everyone to eat, and you are just like, I am a man. How can I go to the kitchen? Look at you. So since you don't want to go to the kitchen, the woman is sick. No food in that house. No food. It doesn't, you know, when we are doing certain things, that this does not take anything away from you. It doesn't change the fact that you are a man. Nobody ever said that you are not a man because you have helped your wife. And I want to also say this, some of these women, when you see your husband starting helping you and all that, and you go in the midst of the conversation with your friends, oh, my husband, I have him in my pocket. Look at you. What pocket do you have that you have your husband? You have your husband in your pocket because the man is being obedient to the word of God. Look at you. Whatever that I say, that's what he does. Oh, miserable woman. You have an issue of blood. God himself, he said, I have changed the covenant. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. So please forgive. Live a life of love in harmony. Learn to, you know, embrace each other. When one is going down, the other one should learn to pull him up. A house that is filled with the purpose of God is a very happy home. I tell my wife all the time, I say, listen to me. You're a woman that God has brought you. I brought you into my life. We are here just for some time. Afterwards, you'll be taken up. The number of days that God has given us, please, let us not make ourselves miserable. Let us not make ourselves miserable. We are not here for a long time. Marriage is just for here. Once we are done, that's it. That's it. I want to live, make you happy. You also make me happy. So that my stay here on this earth is a happy stay. Happy stay. Yes. But now, if you come to the point that God has brought both of us together, the woman has her own agenda. The man also has his own agenda. This one is working towards his project. The other one is working towards her project. Where are we going? It will be an evil thought for a man being the head of the family and be thinking that whatever that you are doing, it's kind of for yourself, and after that you are done, someone from the family will just come and take over everything that you have worked with your wife and your children. We are not obeying traditions. We are obeying the word of the living God. An evil man is the one that is working and thinking that, when I'm not here, one of the my cousins will come and what cousin are you talking about? There are certain things that a man needs to think twice. We are under the new covenant. God is not going to ask you, what did you do to your cousin? We are good to them as we are good to everyone else. But if you are living, say, a good man, he liveth inheritance for his children's children. He never said for his cousins or nephews. Nothing of all that. So our traditional mentality, these things, we have to watch. You have to watch. By the time that I'm not there and everything that I have worked for in sweat with this young woman and with the kids all around and then the family members that were just, you know, even telling you that this woman is not good, don't marry her, and all kinds of noises that they will be saying, they come around and said that we have come to take over what our son has and just throw the woman away with the kids. What is it that your children are going to live on? So some of these things, they are just logic. Logic. I know if I ask the question between you and your husband, or between you and your wife, who do you want to see going first? But you see, that is where the problem is. Because if you start thinking that way, you say that, hey, no, think, why wouldn't you go first if the Lord is calling you? Go. Go. I asked my wife this question one time. You know what she told me? And matter of fact, even before that, we had a Bible study and I asked pretty much a question similar to this. I said, okay, your wife was not doing very well and you guys went to the hospital and came to find out that the woman is going to die. But it is only you, the husband, your heart, only your heart can make that woman live. So would you give it or what would you do? Our own brother, Eddie, he went home and asked the wife, he said, my dear, you know that we are in this covenant together. And the pastor asked a question today in the Bible studies. So I want to find out from you. For any reason, I think it was the wife that asked the husband. Yeah, the wife asked the husband. He said, if I am taken to the hospital and the doctors come to find out that without your heart, only your heart can make me survive. And so what would you do? Would you give me your heart for me to survive and you to go? And the man looked at the wife and told the wife, he said, honey, I know I love you. We are in the covenant. But if you have a heart issue, that might be linked with a blood issue. It means God is calling you first. Go. With the right mindset, you will be treating each other right. With the new covenant mindset, you will be living a life here, a home that is full of God's peace and happiness within that house. If no one is coming with his crafty mind and stuff like that, we will be okay. My dear wife, we are here for a short time. Let's make ourselves happy. I haven't seen anybody with that much done in the surface of this earth, or construction and anything else, that have died and they carry the house to go and bury him. They don't even bury him in that house. And even if they do, you don't take it with you. You don't. Wisdom to live as new covenant children. Let me bring everything to an end, because we said that we are talking about the woman with the issue of blood. It is found in the Bible, the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5, and the verse is 25 to 34. The word says, he said, a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years. 12 years. So you could see that every time that you have an issue of blood, that they are giving you 7 days. After the 7 days, you are not cured. Another 7 days. And this woman had it for 12 good years. 12 good years. 12 good years. So she had suffered many things from the physicians. So she has been trying to seek for cure and has spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So I don't know. You see, this one here is the issue of blood. Someone might have a different type of issue. Have you been sick and you have been visiting doctors over and over? Do you have a situation that you have been trying and it is not working? It's even growing worse. It's even growing worse. Things are just not working. This woman, from doctor to doctor, everyone is running tests, everyone is doing this one, and you pay. The woman has nothing anymore. You are tired of the situation. Things are not changing. When we say that she had suffered many things, you could see what she had suffered. Because isolation alone, you will lose your friends under such circumstances. You will lose your friends. You will be despised. They will count you as someone that is not, you know, some kind of outcast. No matter how much brain you have, if you are not able to provide certain needs in society, they don't even call you when they are having a meeting. Even community meeting, you are not fit to come. You are not part of the community. Many things can happen to people to bring them to a point of isolation. By the time that you have your job and you are doing well and all that, it seems like they are all very nice to you. Lose your job and you'll find out. Lose your job. You might be a young guy, you know, still at school, and you have all these friends around. And, but let me tell you, as your grades are dropping and your mates are going up, the friendship will be over. Will be over. Because they're going to go up and they will make new friends. They will make new friends. You will suffer many things. Rejection. So this woman, in verse 27 of Mark 5, he said, when the woman heard of Jesus Christ, she came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I will be whole. Hallelujah. I pray for somebody who has an issue. I am praying for someone who has an issue, ongoing issue, an issue that has been going on over and over and over and over. You have been seeking for different solutions. No avail. I have good news for you. I know a man. That man's name is Jesus Christ. He is the all-solution Jesus. Greater than all physicians. And let me tell you, the great part about this man, Jesus, is that when you have come and you touch him, you don't have to pay. This has nothing to do with the pastor's consultation or pastor's counseling. How much do we charge to counsel you? Jesus Christ doesn't charge anything to counsel nobody. He doesn't. So the woman made the decision to go to Jesus. And she touched Jesus' garment. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Hallelujah. Straight away, the fountain of her blood. This is the reason why they couldn't cure it. There was a fountain. The problem was beyond physicians. You know what a fountain is? The fountain generates itself. It's like water. The water that is coming from the rock, how would you stop it? It is coming from the ground. It is not something that is initiated by any man. Natural things. You might be in a situation that, you know, it has gone beyond, because what is overshadowing the situation, powering, empowering the situation, is beyond your reach. But I have come to tell you that there is no situation that is above Jesus Christ. You know why that there is no situation that is above Christ? Because Jesus, he is the author and the finisher of all things. In other words, he created it all. And he will bring everything to an end. That's it. So what man cannot do, what nature cannot do, the one that created nature and made man can do it. He can do it. So now, as new covenant believers, if we know that this is the God that we are serving, our problems and our issues, we approach them differently. And you have to approach these problems differently. Because number one, you have to understand that no one ever come before Jesus Christ and live the same. You cannot come to Jesus and touch Christ and live the same. What has been going on for so long? This woman touched Jesus' garment. And the fountain of the problem was just dried up right away. I pray for somebody that no matter how long it has been going on, today, just today, touch the garment of Jesus Christ and your problem shall never ever be the same. Never. You know why? It is because new covenant, God said that he will be merciful to our unrighteousness. He will forget about our iniquities. So I have come to tell you, no matter how filthy you see yourself, No matter how condemnation you think that you have upon yourself, Christ does not condemn you. Christ doesn't condemn you, and the Lord is willing to save you out of that situation. There is hope. There is hope. There is wonderful hope. So today, if that marriage is not working, touch Jesus. Today, if the children you are given out of hope upon those children, there is hope over their lives. Touch Jesus. Bring Jesus Christ into the situation. And that situation will never, ever, ever be the same. May the Lord God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless.